If we co-sign the fact, quote unquote, that we are workers, quote unquote, then by their logic, by the logic of the power guys, why keep around those who do not work for them? The old, the unfit, unfit to be of service to them, particularly as regular culling from the Latin for collect brings numerous benefits for power. The result is both efficient and pleasing to the eye. You have a populace that is forever young. Ah, youth, a pleasure to view and so easily duped, a delight to manage. And then there's that incalculable benefit of killing that nasty parent who you so hated, though you suppressed it, that feeling, over and over again, who was so cruel to you. And in slaughtering the weak, which all workers, quote unquote, are, if only because we haven't a clue, you can also continuously slaughter you, because, you know, that's a big part of the psychological dynamic we are learning from Alice. Recall we said that Bentham, Jeremy Bentham, following Plato's dictum, said that no one should ever be without a leader. And we are all taught this to some degree from day one, right? Obedience. And we don't like that we, on some unconscious level, that we caved to power and forfeited our authentic self. So there is that element of self-hate in not being who we wanted to be, but were forced to relinquish that authentic self because we had to eat. But nonetheless, it never sits well. One question from this, the provenance I'm suggesting is a whole lot of misery derived from one guy, but one guy who has been, you know, carefully preserved and shepherded his memory and his misanthropic totalitarian ideology has been carefully carried through the centuries and used periodically by those who saw that this was a way they could keep the people duped over the long haul. So in any case, following Plato's dictum, no one should ever be without a leader, which by definition means rigid hierarchy. And imagine all the suffering embedded in those two words. Showed power, Bentham did, how to achieve rigid, fixed hierarchy, except Plato showed it as a utopia. And Bentham said, no, we can actually do this thing. He created a practical model in terms of a design that would work for accomplishing that utopia. Not to say Bentham did it alone. It required a whole lot of folk, including the installation of new infrastructure, economic infrastructure, to ensure that there was no way for any nation to escape. It's called the global market. But in any case, the design Bentham came up with was called the Panopticon and allowed for the mechanical, in a sense, installation of obedience in we, the common folk. And though it is obvious that it is, in fact, a relinquishment of our thought process when we are reared in a class system. We've never had that discussion that hierarchy does this. And for the sake of clarity in this discussion, we're going to be calling this, we're going to be distinguishing thought process, that term, from thought as an object for sale on the market, or from thinking as an activity commissioned by power for its purposes. So again, Bentham's gift to power was the panopticon. And recall that this design allowed the few to control the many, because this had been a difficulty for some millennia. By strictly, he is the one who pointed out that if you strictly control the thoughts of the many, you can, in fact, accomplish what seemed not possible. A tiny, tiny minority can keep under control the vast majority. And that this design hierarchy extinguishes our thought process. And I'm speaking of us as a broad generality. As what a thought process requires to exist, we will be arguing, is the absence of coercion, which means the absence of class. Under the terms of class, on the other hand, we become but various expressions of the mind of power. And recall from last week also our mention of the fact that we're going to get some help from Proudhon with this. I think most of us have noticed this problem of a lack of consonance in a class system between what we believe and what we actually do. And he's going to be showing us, and Alice is in concurrence with this, that we can address this by making our behavior conscious, and therefore the beliefs implied by our behavior conscious. In so doing, he said, and we said, that we can in so doing, we can reclaim our original thought process, our original selves. Today we'll be examining that notion more closely.